Welcome to Innovation in Your Ears. This series follows the founders and businesses on the Level Up Accelerator program. I'm Charlie.
I'm Olu, and today you're going to hear from Yuan at Pelly. You're going to hear all about their journey, their business, and what's next for them.
My name's Yuan. I'm the founder of Pelly, a platform designed to centralise the sources of truth of professional football clubs to help inform efficient and effective decision-making.
Wow, okay. Tell us a bit more about that. What does that mean in practice?
In practice, that means a football club would have a data feed, which I guess it has every bit of information a football club might have in their recruitment operations. So you might have a database of 400,000 different footballers from all across the globe, and you've got statistics of each and every game they've played for the last 5 years. That's billions of data points, like a huge amount. So in essence, what Pelly does, it brings it all together under one centralised roof and sorts through that data, saving a significant amount of time and money from having to develop a solution that does that for you.
And what are clubs doing now then without this solution?
Some football clubs are using video games like Football Manager for their recruitment, which is horrendous. Other clubs are using Excel spreadsheets. Other clubs are using pen and paper. And then you've got the big clubs who they've obviously got their own systems because they've got the money to do it.
Right, okay, that makes sense. And tell us a bit about where's Pelly at today? Who's in the team? Are you live? Is it available? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're currently in our pre-seed round of funding, £250,000. We think we've got the round done now, pending pending a bit of documentation. I think we're there. So as soon as the money's there, within 2 months we'll have a one-to-one sort of clickable prototype ready, and then within 5 months we'll have something to go to market. However, we're probably a year or so from having the full product there. So we're working with a Premier League club, which is it's larger scale, and it's not necessarily what or who Pelly is for, but I think you get a good understanding from a higher level football club. And then also we're working with Carnarvon Town, so off the ends of the scale, but I think being able to implement yourself within a semi-professional environment as well within football, it gives you a lot of insight into what's actually going on.
Yeah, so is this product suited more to the sort of mid and lower leagues rather than the elite level?
Yeah, so we've described Pelly as a mid-level product, so that being ideally for teams in the Championship, League One or equivalent. Yeah, the Premier League, the budgets they're in the millions.
Yeah, okay. And who's in the team?
So within the sort of founding team, we've got myself, a guy called Tom, who was doing a law degree at Bangor Uni. We've got a guy called Stephen. So for the last year or so, he's been working with Brentford's leadership team, which is it's quite exciting. And then we've got a guy called Ryan based in the States. So for the last 25 years, he's been working at Deloitte, doing some strategic stuff within government. I'm not too sure. He says if he tells me, he'll have to kill me. No idea. And then we've got a guy called Aditya. So Aditya's based in Bengaluru in India. For the last 5-6 years, he's been working at a company called Arthur Energy. So they started there, I think he's about 22, and he started their data analysis team there. And he scaled it to the point where the company sold for $1 billion not too long ago. So we've got a nice deal with Aditya as well. And that's sort of the founding team, if you will. And then obviously we've got people outside of the network who chirp in and help out where necessary.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Where's this come from? Like, what, is it your idea? Is it mm-hmm. collective? Talk us through that.
So it is an accumulation of, I think, now 6 years of just... For me, it started complete by fluke. And I'll sort of go into that a little bit. So in 2017, my family were on a holiday we were in the Balkans, and I don't know why, my dad thought we'll go to Bosnia on holiday. So, yeah, we were there, and there's no phone service. Obviously, there's no phone service, and we were travelling in the car, and I was going through my phone on social media, and I was scrolling and re-scrolling again, seeing the same thing over and over, and I came across this football account, and in essence, what they were looking for was an administrator for their social media page, and... It's like you have to promote under 23 footballers, so random footballers from across the globe. who are performing well, who've got something like insightful, interesting about them. And anyway, yeah, I applied for that, and the application process wasn't anything difficult, and they gave me it. So I spent the rest of the holiday nestled away in the villa where we had Wi-Fi, writing tweets about some players from Estonia and Azerbaijan and all sorts.
Wow.
Yeah. And we got to a point where the account was growing quick, and I think by month three, we had about 9 million impressions on our work, which it was pretty good going. And one day we had Zenit St. Petersburg and Benfica. They reached out completely out of the blue, and they said, "Do you want to have like a media partnership? So you post about our players and we'll share it on our platforms." Now that amplified things massively.
Yeah.
To a whole new level where I think we had about 30 million impressions sort of within 5-6 months after that. It was unbelievable. So I was 17 at the time. I was in sixth form. And I'm sure all my other friends were getting jobs in like restaurants or whatever. And I was like, I really like what I'm doing. If there's a way to monetize it, that would be great. So what we did was myself and we basically built a team of like volunteers, like a little army of them. They were brilliant. We produced a magazine, like a physical magazine about these random footballers. There were little reports, maybe 1,000 words on each. And I don't know how, but that sold out within a day. So we made another one, and then that one sold out. And, you know, we were flying at the time. I was earning a decent income from doing what I think I grew to love, because I don't think I was meant to love it initially.
Okay.
And then one day that just suddenly came to an end, because through naivety, we were posting videos of footballers. Now, obviously, you can't post videos places because copyright infringements. And, yeah, the Bundesliga in Germany, they came down hard because we posted a video of Jaden.
And what, that just closed the whole thing down?
Everything. Wow. So overnight, what I had built, it was completely gone. So we were sort of twiddling our thumbs a little bit, like, what do we do now? And myself and a guy called Harry, we founded a company called The Scouted Hub. Now, initially, the mission, if you will, for that company was to get like an insight into the inner workings of football, how it works, and the side that people don't necessarily see, so recruitment, for example. And again, that sort of followed a similar path to what I was doing before. We were getting a crazy amount of views. We did an insight into, well, I guess it was like an investigation into like corruption within Indian football. I don't know why, but that did really well. And it sort of got us to a point where we had a few thousand followers on that. And again, we were reaching these millions of impressions. And then one day, we had a football club in Denmark. They reached out completely out of the blue and they said, "Do you want to help us find a right back?" Now, growing up playing FIFA and Football Manager my whole life, I mean, naturally, yes, I do want to find your right back. You know, it's like playing the game in real life. So we built this team of like random people that we've seen on Twitter who we thought, right, you've got the skill set for this. You could fit into this somehow. And we built a team that somewhat resembled a recruitment department at a football club.
Okay.
And yeah, we did the report, no idea what we were doing, really, but the club seemed to like it. And ever since that moment, we sort of pivoted into doing, I guess, consulting with football clubs. So you've got this amount of money, right, let's find you a player who fits your criteria, your budget and whatnot. So,
and I guess those are the early years for,
yeah,
for what's now Pelly.
Yeah.
And you've learned from that, and that's now developed into a much more significant product.
Mm-hmm. So we worked with 15 football clubs in all, from like Premier League down to like the UAE League and Brazilian League. And we noticed, like, despite the size or the stature and financial prowess of these different football clubs, like fundamentally, they all shared one common pain point, and that was the lack of infrastructure and support for the processes within their athlete recruitment. And like from that was our call to action. Like, these football clubs need something, and that something became Pelly.
Obviously, got an entrepreneurial spirit. I'm intrigued where that comes from. What were you like as a kid and in school?
I think the way I worked in school is I will cruise through it. I will not dedicate myself to something, because if I pass, that is me done. I've got what I need to get to the next stage. But I think, in terms of entrepreneurialism, it solely derives from my business teacher. I don't know why he's not a businessman himself. But
is that in what, secondary school?
In secondary school, so yeah. Year 10, I think it would have been.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why he's not a businessman himself, but his passion for it was incredible. And I think ever since that, it's driven me on a path to doing things, not for myself necessarily, but the independence and freedom that you have from having your own company, it's incredible. And that drives me.
Yeah, and how would you sum up in one sentence? How would you sum up that journey so far as an entrepreneur and business owner?
I think, not to get too deep with anything, but you can find yourself in a place of I guess you call it quiet desperation, where you look around and you think I'm not really progressing here. I'm not. You feel helpless at times because you think I'm not. Because you're so honed in and zoomed in on this specific thing that you're doing, you don't look holistically around you I am progressing, I am doing this. So that you have moments of I guess it's just a one word answer, trajectory. You look at holistically, I think in 5 years I might be, I don't know where I'll be, but I think I'll be somewhere a lot further along than I am now. I think a mixture between hopelessness and trajectory is probably the best summary.
Yeah, you're not alone. Some of the other guys have talked about, the cliche, but that roller coaster journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm keen to understand who obviously you've got a team around you, but
yeah,
what about the wider team, or how do you keep yourself in good shape, especially mentally? Keep yourself balanced. Keep mm-hmm. yourself, how do you pick yourself up during those tough periods?
Yeah.
What sort of coping mechanisms have you built in?
I think the way that I look, and I read quite a lot into this stuff, and I can't remember the exact quote, but it was you have your highs and you feel high, and you have your lows and you feel really low, and you want to have this sort of middle balance. And I think if you have that middle balance, you flatlined. Well, what do you have at that point? You have nothing. So, yeah, to me, it's embracing sort of, and again, going back to what I was saying earlier, where you feel hopeless and helpless, I guess, as well. It's understanding the context behind that, and that even though you might be feeling a certain way now, you're almost certainly going to have that high again.
Tell us, what's the one thing that... That's happened, or that you've learned within within the business, or how the business has changed that you just genuinely didn't expect?
Yeah, I think fundraising is in itself its own beast. For me, and I know it sounds really particular, but it's understanding the mindset of investors and how they work. that's difficult, because I think you've got a perception going into things. Especially for me, I'm quite young, I don't really have the experience of some other people, but I look at things and you maybe think Dragon's Den, you've got 15 minutes to pitch with someone and then you're going to get a load of money. It's not like that.
No, it works.
Yeah. No, you might have spells between September to November, for example, and investors are active, and then you get to December and they don't want to know you. And then you go into January to April and again, they don't want to know you, so you're working on this really tight schedule and you've got to make sure everything that you have is perfect for them. So yeah.
how have you settled on, not quite across the line just yet, I know, but through that process of learning about the investment, how have you chosen those investors, or decided which ones are the right fit for the company?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, the terms. Some terms can be a lot more restrictive than others, but I think ultimately as a person, I think who we have in at the moment is exactly what we want. It's someone who, they believe in the project and they've also got a passion for it themselves. So football, a lot of people are passionate about football, but doing the right thing within football and wanting to achieve that little marginal gain, that 5% extra, it's people who align with that vision. And finding that person can be quite difficult, but I'm confident that we've found them in principle.
Yeah, awesome. So bringing in that smart money, and I guess they'll bring their wider network in as well. Mm-hmm. As you grow and continue to support, rather than only supporting with money right now.
Yeah. So
what would you say to somebody starting that journey or thinking about going down the investment route? What would you say to them having gone or going through that process? What would you say to them to help them?
plan absolutely everything. Think of every scenario you possibly can and validate it. Keep validating it, because you're going to get asked to validate things. So you're going to ask, validate the validation. I mean, it's crazy. It's an enjoyable journey. It's a stressful journey, but I'm almost certain that it's worth it at the end.
Yeah, well, I guess that allows you to grow the company and have a bigger impact, which is what this is all about, right?
Yeah, ultimately, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And what's the biggest challenge that the business is facing right now, or where's the biggest focus for you within the business?
Yes, so right now it's cash flow and generating some form of cash flow, because obviously we don't have a product there yet. We're a few months off having that. But trying to do smaller stuff. So, for example, applications for SEIS, that costs money. Where do you find that money? Even if it's just a couple grand, where do you source that money from? And at the moment, that is the sort of main area of, not necessarily concern, but to be able to accept this money, we have SEIS and tax planning that we need to have. We need to have a shareholders agreement, like a thorough one in place. Trademarks fully done and applied for. I mean, you're looking there and you've got 4 or 5 grand, and when you've not got anything there, it's, yeah.
And how have you gotten around that?
So
is that loans? Is it friends and family helping out?
Yeah, we've got family who've helped out. So Stephen, one of the co-founders, his grandparents, they've kindly donated £10,000 to sort of help with this. But from like a personal level, I mean, at the moment, my mum, she's a godsend. So just for a bit of context, when we had the sort of call to action, like, right, the football industry needs a Pelly, I was living in Liverpool and I had quite a nice place. And I recognised, right, if I'm to do this, it's going to need pretty much everything I have. And it took everything I have. So I moved back to my parents' home in Amloch. I put the rest of my sort of finances in there. We bootstrapped for a bit, but we're no longer in the position to do that. So yeah, mother is a godsend. I mean, she's working overtime at the moment just to be able to keep it going, and I feel horrible for it, but she's like, don't you dare quit. And yeah, so yeah, mum, big up mum.
Yeah, well, hopefully you can repay her
absolutely
with much more than just giving that investment back.
Yeah,
much more
no, absolutely. Yeah, she can have her holiday, she can have whatever she wants.
Yeah. So tell me, if you've obviously, you know, you're very entrepreneurial. I'm intrigued. If you could start any business with you know, resources provided, you could start a new business tomorrow without affecting Pelly, what would that business be?
I think it's almost like a cheat answer, but I think in my mind, what I've always wanted to do after Pelly is to have a fund where you've got younger entrepreneurs, again, people sort of around my age, where you're 18 to 21, and it is giving them the platform enable their growth and propel that growth and accelerate it. And I think it is a little bit of a cheat answer, but for me, that's what I'm passionate about. And I think, like with Pelly, yes, we want to exit, yes, we want to do that, but ultimately it isn't so there's a few quid in our pocket. It is to propel sort of our purpose and what we believe to be the reason that we're here. And for me, it's yeah, giving people an opportunity to make something of their own.
Do you think it's more difficult for younger people, you know, 20 and under? Do you think it's more difficult for them to get started and raise funds, etc.?
I think it's difficult to say, because again, I'm not older. I don't know what it's like for them, for the older people, but for me, it's because of your age. You don't necessarily have that experience or perceived experience. And again, validating that, and you know, it's natural. People are going to ask questions, are parting away with their money, but that can be quite difficult, because you feel like you can't win with people. So yeah, I guess in some ways it probably is quite difficult.
Yeah, I suppose also you've not, you know, presumably applying for loans is trickier, because you've got, you know, you've progressed less, you know, up the career ladder. Or you've had less chance to have, you know, earn a little bit of cash and put some into savings, you know, over 5-10 years in order to put back into the business.
Yep.
So I guess there are some fundamental challenges there that how do you get off the ground? I get you full of energy.
Yeah.
But how do you get a bit off the ground, a bit of cash to maybe bring somebody else in to help?
Yeah.
He does. That's really interesting. That's what you would do. What you do next? What would you say is the biggest myth or misconception about entrepreneurship?
I think people have a perception where it's like, oh, you're a grafter. Oh, you're just doing it to make a quick buck. You're just doing this. You're just doing that. And don't get me wrong, but obviously there are people who are doing that, and rightfully so. Good on them. But I think in my own experience, that perception and maybe misconception of me as a person of like, oh, he's just doing it because he wants to make a couple of quid. That it doesn't grate me necessarily, but
yeah, that's really interesting. And tell me, what book, movie, or podcast would you recommend somebody thinking of starting a business or in the early stages?
For me, it's really obvious and cliche, but there are parts of that of the Lean Startup which were obviously good. That's the one.
That by Eric Ries.
Yes, that's it. So I've read that loads of times. And then beyond that, it's like biographies of, it doesn't necessarily have to be business people, but people who you can apply the methodologies and the principles and philosophies into sort of business. So, yeah.
Give us one biography that's had an impact on you.
Oh, God. Again, you hate to be cliche, but the Musk one, but you sort of strip it back from business. And you look at it like the way in which he works, and I guess, yes, there is privilege there, naturally. But his like commitment to reading like 16th century books and understanding certain philosophies from that and how that they are implemented within his businesses, for me, at least, I find that really, really inspiring.
Ewan, look, just to wrap up, it's been really interesting. Where can people listening find out more? Speak to you, find out more about the product, follow the progress.
Yeah, so we've got the website pelly.app, we've got LinkedIn, again, Pelly, LinkedIn myself, Ewan Pritchard. So yeah, I'm always available, and if anyone wants to get in contact with me directly, then you're more than welcome to drop me a line.
And in particular, I guess, young entrepreneurs, you're obviously really passionate about supporting them, so I know you've been working with some of the other guys at MSpark. And collaborating and sharing insights and painful lessons learned as well, and sharing that's really important. So yeah, any young entrepreneurs out there, definitely get in touch with you, Anna, and see where you can share some learnings and make headway together.
Absolutely, I think collaboration's the way forward.
Yeah, awesome. All right, thank you very much, Ewan.
Perfect.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember to follow us on all our social media and the businesses featured in this episode.